BlakeRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Intrigue. Suspense. Drama. A whodunit. And a why. We have the answers to none of those questions, but this is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin', that's Lindsay Ward.
No, we have the answer to all those questions, and his name is, Paul Levesque, because sir, you are talking my language right now, and I love you for it. I love a good whodunit in wrestling. I love a good mystery. I love intrigue and drama, and I love it all going on in the background subtly, because you sit there and then you have to pay attention. You have to watch. You have to keep your eyes peeled. You can't take them away, even for a second, especially when you're backstage. I'm just so happy with what happened tonight. Like, the only thing that makes me sad is, God damn it, why didn't this happen a year ago?
Because someone wasn't in charge.
Someone needed to be in charge, because, oh my God, this was so, like, I know this is only the second weekend, we're still in our honeymoon period, Hunter is still figuring things out, when I say Hunter, I mean Hunter and the booking team and the writing team. Because I know it's not Hunter running all of the show, but there is something happening, I call it magic, within that team right now, where they're doing some really cool stuff for me that we haven't seen in at least a year or more, which is that they're telling stories throughout the show again. And last week it was very, very clear what they were telling, and this week it was too. It was all about the women again this week. We had the tag title tourney, but they had stuff going on in the background. They were using the background of the show to tell a second story, and I love it when they do that shit, because like I said, it makes you pay attention. It wakes you up. It's like somebody's cutting a promo, and the promo is just like, yeah, okay, yeah, all right, you're talking, but in the background, something's going on, and you're kind of sitting in your, and you're like, what's that over there?
Huh.
Huh.
Gotta keep an eye on that.
Like, they used to do, and I'm gonna say it, they used to do that shit with Bray, and I was, because Rock and I were talking about this before the show, where they would have Bray, when he was doing the Funhouse, kind of pop up throughout the show, but it would be with the puppets, where you would have Ramblin' sitting off in the background, or you'd have Huskus, or you'd have Abby, and they would just be in the background of a shot,
yeah,
not really doing anything. They were just present. And it's that kind of stuff that I love, because it's a very subtle, very good way to remind that in the case of Bray, he's always watching. In this instance, we had the story of the mystery car crash, where everybody wasn't quite sure in the beginning if it was legit, because during one of the promos in the beginning of the show, in the background is a wrecked car, and you have Nikki Ash and Dewdrop and a bunch of cops all standing there, and they're dealing with this crash. And I was like, huh, somebody must have really screwed up. And a lot of people didn't even notice it, but some people did. And they were like, hey, there's a crash car in the background. What's up with that?
Matt tweeted us about it.
And then later on, in that same exact filming spot, you see it getting towed away.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops are dealing with that. And then a third, I believe.
No, it was the same segment.
Okay, it's the same segment. The cops leave the car and come running past to get to the front, to get to ringside, which is like, well, what's going on?
They got to the building. So
they got into the building. Whoever it is, they got into the building. And then as Monday Night Raw closes and AJ Styles is celebrating his win over Miz,
which was a really good match, by the way.
Which is fucking fantastic. We'll talk about it in a second. You see somebody getting arrested. Somebody's trying to get in the ring. And they're trying to not to purposely show the person until the very, very, very end. And if you weren't paying attention, you missed it. But if you were paying attention, you saw Dexter Lumis in the background.
And the announcers didn't acknowledge it, but he was being arrested in the background.
I just...
Like, that's how you tell the story. It's subtle. It's debuting a character in a way that WWE doesn't debut characters.
It's the perfect way to debut that character, though.
Yeah.
Because he's creepy, he's kooky, he's a little bit ooky, and he's a stalker. And he's not necessarily the best dude. We all love Dexter from the run with Indy, but if you know Dexter and you follow Dexter's story throughout his entire career, which Rock and I have both been very fortunate to do, you know he's a little bit of a creep.
Samuel Shaw, yep.
And so this was, I loved everything about this. Like, this was just beautifully done from top to bottom because it was a mystery and you're kind of trying to figure it out and you're watching the show. And it's those kinds of things that, like I said, it makes you pay attention because now you start looking in the background, you start watching and you're like, what's going on? It can be a little distracting at times, but it's like every time they go backstage, it's like, well, is there any update on the car? Like, is that real? And you're trying to figure it out. And it's like, oh yes, it's a thing. It's a part of the show. Like, even Road Dogg was like, just wait for it.
Just watch the television show. Don't freak out. It's something happened. It's entertainment.
I love that. I love everything about that. It takes me, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to be that fan. It takes me right back to when I first started watching with Raw, where it was like with Raw and SmackDown, where stuff would happen in the background and you had to figure it out. And they have an ebb and flow with that. So I don't expect this to stay, but they would kind of follow that throughout the show where you had your main story and then you had your sub story going on in the background. And then at some point it all comes to a head. But this was just, God, this was so well done.
And the intrigue of why was he there? Why was he trying to get to the ring? Who was he going for?
We don't know. That's the thing. We don't know. Because as we know in NXT, Samuel Shaw is the... Dexter Lumis is the pseudo son-in-law of Johnny Gargano. And that's the thing, is everybody was expecting Johnny Gargano tonight because they were in Cleveland. And there was a group of wrestlers in town in Nashville the weekend of SummerSlam. And so a lot of the returns that you're seeing probably got negotiated and probably happened SummerSlam weekend. The Garganos, Samuel Shaw, aka Dexter Lumis, Scarlett and Karrion, they were all in town last weekend. So because everybody was expecting Johnny because they're in Cleveland, they gave you Dexter instead. Now, is that an indication that Johnny could be on his way? Probably not.
One doesn't have to do with the other.
One does not have to do with the other, but it's just an interesting tie-in, especially since Johnny Gargano's mortal enemy, Tommaso Ciampa.
Frenemy.
Tommaso Ciampa is involved with this group. So, yeah, this was...
It's good.
This is so good.
Monday Night Raw opened up with Bayley and her crew, Dakota Kai and Io Sky, coming out talking. Bayley's first in-ring promo in a long time. It's been a while.
I liked when she flubbed Dakota's name and then she immediately covered for it. Like, she just, that was good. And she's like, it's all your fault. You keep distracting me. You keep, I can't concentrate. And they had to kind of calm her down. Like, you could tell that that was a very sort of maybe planned natural reaction to that. Or she just genuinely flubbed and they just were able, they have the freedom now to cover.
Yeah, and she just, because they were doing the what chance, and you know. So they were, she was talking, and they brought out the other women, Alaska, Alexa Bliss, and Bianca Belair. And they talked about the women's tournament, and there's how, you know, there's a tag team title tournament now in place. And how the, you know, how, Dakota and Io won't get past, you know, the second round because Alexa and Asuka are in the match. Bianca said that they had no problem taking care of the three women on the spot. Bayley said, yeah, you want to see it? Yeah, but just not here. But at Clash of the Castle, it'll be a six-woman tag team match. Bielle said that while Bayley was talking about control, she just felt like losing it. And then we had a big old brawl to open up the show between all six women and that have to be pulled apart.
I like this. This was good.
In a follow-up to last week's encounter, we had Seth Rollins and Angelo Dawkins going one-on-one on the show. Pretty good match between the two, which saw Montez try to get involved, but in the end, Seth Rollins would get the win.
Oh, Seth. Seth.
We would have more with Seth Rollins later in the evening because he was told, and like the rest of the world, that next week we're going to have an exclusive interview with Riddle to update us on his condition, and Rollins is like, I'm done with him, and it's not like Riddle's gonna have anything earth-centering to say. It's like he mentioned how, you know, about his UFC career and Dana White firing him and all this other stuff, and you know, he might have to Cody Rhodes his ass right out the door.
Wow.
You know, things like that. Also on the program this evening, we had Kevin Owens battle Ezekiel, which Kevin just whooped his ass, even though he almost slipped on the steps, but he gave him the power bomb on the ring apron, the hardest part of the ring, and dropped him, and we had medics take out Ezekiel. And this is the first time when Owens was interviewed, he said, remind everyone that, you know, he's tired of everything, and reminding everyone this is the Kevin Owens show, because, you know, all the eyeballs are now on this show more than they were before, for obvious reasons. This was the first sighting of the car in the background. So that was the first little subtleness. The matchup for the evening was between the Judgment Day and the Mysterios was Finn Balor and Rey Mysterio. Before the match, you had Edge, Rey Mysterio, and Dominic get into a little bit of an altercation backstage where Edge was trying to apologize. Dominic was like, yeah, we're cool. Like, he was like staring him down. Like, it's like, we're cool. And Dominic was like, yeah, we're cool. And then he shoved him and then he ran away and no one could find Dominic. Edge has to go out with Ray, and Ray's like, no, my son will be there. He, don't worry, he'll be there for me. This led to the matchup in the ring, but before that, there was a challenge issued. Damian Priest said he challenged Edge to a match in Toronto in a couple of weeks, because it's been over 12 years since Edge has wrestled on Raw in Toronto. So there you go. But it was Finn and Ray. Good match between the two, with Finn getting the win. Edge came out and went after Damian during this matchup, but there is still no sign of Dominic for a while, until the very end, when Rhea Ripley walked out with poor old Dominic on her shoulder, allowing Finn to get the win. Thoughts?
I very much like, one, how you had Rhea Ripley carry Dominic over her shoulder and dump him unceremoniously, but gently, onto the ramp on Monday Night Raw. That was fantastic. Then, on top of that, they did a special job on Dominic to make him up and look like he had been beat up. Like, yeah. His face was all marred up. He had a little cut that looked like he was bleeding. I mean, that is a level of detail that they generally don't go to on Monday Night Raw, but I especially appreciate. Like, his clothes were ripped up, his face was marred, he was selling like a champ. Like, just the whole notion that Rhea Ripley took Dominic to some dark corner of the arena and just literally beat the shit out of him, and then drug him up for his father to see. Good lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Give me all of that, because you just make that instant mental connection. Because it's like, when they came out, it was Damian and Finn, and it's like, where's Rhea? Why isn't Rhea with them? Like, that, I'm sitting here and I asked myself that question. I was like, where's Rhea? Because they come as a set.
Right, and they said Rhea was in the building somewhere.
Right, but they all come out together. So the fact that she wasn't with them, you knew something was up. You knew something was going on, because normally all three of them are there. And the fact that one wasn't, it's like, I wonder what's going on here. Let me pay attention. And then you just literally have Rhea drag Dominic out over her shoulder, like manhandles him. And Dominic, I think, is bigger than her. height and weight wise, Rhea's being a Dom. Yes, yes, she is. Rhea is doming Dom. But I like how they did all of this. I like how Ray sold it. I like the stuff between Edge and Ray, where you have this tension. But I just like all of it. I mean, this was just very, very well done, because I feel like they're finally beginning to give Judgment Day a purpose again, and it has a point again. I think it could be a setup, LeMans, for Dominic joining Judgment Day. I think that's the end goal, and honestly, I would not be against him joining Judgment Day, just because it would give him another purpose outside of being Rey Mysterio's son, and it would help him break out, because Rey has been wonderful in helping get Dominic over, but it's time to move Dominic on. He can't be Rey Mysterio's bouncing baby boy for forever. Eventually, he has to stand on his own two legs. So by putting him with people like, by having him turn on his father, by basically being brainwashed into turning on his father, a la Stephanie McMahon, that I'm okay with that. I'm completely fine with that.
So there you go.
But I don't know about Edge. We have to see about Edge.
We'll have to see. So again, and you never know with Edge where he lies, because one of the story was going a Vince way, and now there's no Vince direction. So everything you thought you knew, you don't any longer. The women's tag team title tournament started with Dana Brooke and Tamina taking on Dakota Sky and Io Shirai. There was a little backstage promo about the seriousness of it before the matchup, which also saw Dakota and Io get the win in this contest. Here's the one thing. The match was fine. It wasn't a blowaway match, because you look at Tamina and Dana, they're not, you know, the most highly skilled, but they're a competitive duo together. And they talked about the backstory between the two, with her being her biggest rival for the 24/7 title. But the match went 10 minutes. Under the previous regime, this would have gone 3.
Mm-hmm.
While the quality may not have been there, the fact that they got the time is a good thing, because that's just setting the standard of, hey, we're now dedicating time to the division. You got 10 minutes for these four women. That's pretty good. Because now it makes it seem like, okay, all the matches in the tournament should get between 7 and 10 minutes, and compared to where we were getting 3 to 5. That's a nice step in the right direction. Reason I lowered the number to like 7, because it's SmackDown, there's going to be matches, and you don't have as long of a period on SmackDown for timing, like for the first round. So it may be a little bit less, but we'll see.
Yeah. Like, I like how, because they're actually making an effort, not to say that they weren't before, but they are making a very concerted effort to use all 3 hours very wisely. The one thing that we are not seeing is where they, towards the end of the main event, or towards when you're heading into the main event, they would literally have a 15-minute gap between the sub main and the main, where they would roll video packages and commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just lose those 15 minutes. And that's 15 minutes that you could have given to somebody else. Now there is a very concerted effort to fill all 3 hours of the show, to make all 3 hours interesting. And they are paying attention to that, of how they're booking, of the timing, of everything. Because I will say this, and I know we're only 2 weeks in. Again, we are in the honeymoon period with Hunter. But the last two episodes of Raw have not drug. SummerSlam did not drag much.
No, it really didn't drag.
There was like a couple things for me, but that's me personally. But overall, it's like, especially for the last 3 hours of Raw, they have made sure that it has not dragged, that it's been interesting, that it's been fun, that they've been doing different things. It's like we said tonight, you had Miz and AJ Styles in a no DQ match. Miz, who generally works safe matches, he's now in a no DQ.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's, again, subtle thing.
So, like, I appreciate everything that's been done so far.
So, it was Bobby Lashley and Ciampa for the United States Championship. The match, Ciampa caught a nice promo before the match with Miz, and he dedicated the match to Harley Race. He even wore Harley Race's robe to the ring. Bobby Lashley would retain the championship, but they had a really, really good matchup between the two, and it gave you a lot of hope and a lot of thought of, oh my god, is Ciampa gonna beat Lashley? Is he gonna beat him? He didn't, but man, he came really close at time. They made you believe in him.
This was good. This was so good. Oh my gosh, this is one of the best Bobby Lashley matches I've seen in quite a while.
Yeah, it was. Omos beat two dudes really quick. That's all I can say about that one.
But it was a perfect use of Omos.
Yeah. Dolph Ziggler and Chad Gable had a really good wrestling style, like amateur style submission, little back and forth for a while in their matchup, which saw Dolph get the win. It was a good little encounter between the two. They went out there and did a different style, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
As mentioned, we had a car in the background of Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and Nikki A.S.H. Doudrop little segment. You had Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop cut their promo. And then Asuka and Alexa were cutting their promo. That's when Bayley showed up with her crew. They were mocking them a little bit. And that's when you saw the car being loaded and the flat with the, on the flatbed and security running by going, huh. And then here, the subtle thing. Bayley and crew walked right past AJ Styles. But why? What is
What's
it all?
What's going on?
What does it all mean? But as you mentioned, AJ Styles, Miz in a no DQ matchup. Again, change of style. It's the same, you know, it's a regular match you're going to get. But a subtle twist with it being no DQ. You had a little interference by Tommaso Ciampa when AJ was going for a Styles clash. And then he saw what, ooh, table. Ciampa came out to make sure that didn't happen. But Ciampa went through the table instead. Miz, like, threw the chair at one point into AJ's head and hit the skull crushing finale. Thought that was going to be it. Some really good near falls towards the end. But AJ hit the Styles Clash, got the win. He's celebrating. Everyone's excited for AJ Styles. But they're like, you know, they're looking at the crowd. You hear some, you heard a little bit of rumbling. Like, what's going on? Who's coming through the crowd? And then you look over and you see the thing. And the one little thing I really like that they did.
Mm-hmm.
So AJ starts looking over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the referee gets in the way of that corner. It's like, yeah, no, don't worry about what's going on there. Like, that doesn't, you know, nothing, like, he, like, it would be a real situation. Just handle it. But AJ then got concerned a little bit more, look, went back over. And then you saw Dexter for that subtle second. It wasn't zoomed in, which was perfect. It's like, you do the faraway shot, so if you know what he looks like, then you're intrigued. Yeah, the ref waved his hands, right? Like, don't look here, but absolutely look here. Like, he's directing you, the audience, to look here, but don't look here. Don't worry about what's going on there, but make sure you're looking there and you saw him. And that was a nice subtle change, nice subtle bit to debut Dexter.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said at the top of the show, I like how they did this. I just like how they did this whole thing. I can't stop gushing about it because it's something that I have not seen in so long. And it's such a beautiful change of pace. And it's like, oh God, they're talking to me again. My wrestling has come back to me. And I'm so happy right now because they're doing things that speak my language. I love stuff that makes you think. I love stuff that can spurn stories off of, that inspires you, that you sit there and you go, wait, what was that? What happened? I love all that kind of stuff. I love to theory craft. It's one of my favorite things to do. And they hadn't been doing that for so long, and wrestling was just very superficial, and what you saw was what you got. And now we're kind of going back to, well, you have to pay attention again, or you will miss stuff. And you missed stuff before, but it's not like this. Like, again, it's just, it was, to see Dexter, it was literally a split second. You blink and you miss him.
And on social media engagement, they told you who it was on Instagram. It's like, oh my God, it's Dexter Lumis.
But everybody's freaking out online because they're like, holy shit, was that Dexter?
So not only did they intrigue you for the TV show, right?
Mm-hmm.
They also provided social engagement. Man, that's smart business.
It's very smart business. It's almost best for business. But I do want to talk about the match real quick, just because I thought this was a wonderful match between AJ and Miz. I love the risks that were taken in this match. Like the spot where AJ jumps up on the top rope and he's going to do the elbow, and Miz just takes the chair and pitches it in his face, and AJ just flops off the rope. Like, that was just beautiful to me. That was really well sold. The point where they're up on the announce table and Miz just chucks AJ Styles onto the concrete. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, that was nice. The table spot with Ciampa was good. Like, there was a point where Miz, like, hit AJ with the kendo stick towards the end of the match. And, like, for a second, I thought it went across his stomach. And it's like, oh, God, that hurt. It went across his leg. But just the way the camera angle looked, it looked like it went across his stomach. And it looked like it hurt like hell. So it's like, this was just really, I liked this. And again, the different energy was there. You tell that people are invigorated. You can tell people are taking risks, that people are going off script. You can tell overall, just by the way everything ran tonight, that there is a little bit more freedom. I don't know how much more, but there is more freedom in people being able to make their own decisions and tell their own stories within the confines of the script. And I like that.
It feels like a different show.
It feels like a different show, because Rock and I were talking about this before the show, that it's like, I've never understood with WWE why you put, especially in the modern era, and by the modern era, I mean in the last 5 to 10 years, because that's about how long the PC's been up and running, is you put all this talent that you bring in through wrestling classes, through promo classes, through acting classes. They are taught to talk. They are taught to act. They are taught to wrestle. And then you bring them into this environment where they're extremely confined and they don't have any creative decisions. And for some people, that's a really good environment. For the people that aren't necessarily as creative, for the people who don't know necessarily how to book themselves, who don't understand all of that, it's a really great environment to be in because it's very structured. You're just handed a script, you do your job, and you leave. But for the people who are going to creative and going to the higher powers that are no longer there and saying, hey, I have this idea. The fact that those people were generally turned away always baffled me. Because, yeah, they may not have the best idea, but to refuse somebody who has a good idea simply because you can, which we know happened, just boggles the mind. Because you have a writing staff that is overworked. You have a creative process that is essentially throttled. And it's all going up to the top and it's all getting stuck at the top. And it's causing your show to suffer as a result. Now you can tell the throttle is gone. And it's still a very controlled environment. Like, it's still something where they are still writing a script. They are still having people do scripted promos to an extent. How scripted, I don't know. But there is, you can tell there is still a structure in place. But there is a liberty that's being handed out to people that is making it feel much more natural and organic. And I like that a lot, because it's like, it's really kind of a perfect balance of everything. Because it feels like it kind of, and again, I'm going to say it, it feels like it did when I first started watching, where it was kind of scripted, but they hadn't gone full script yet. And they really hadn't wrested like complete control to the point that they just choked everything, like the life out of the product. And I'm cool with this. And this is all honeymoon. Like, this is all Hunter's doing great because it's changed and it's wonderful. And eventually we'll settle into a rhythm with him. But like, for right now, I see nothing but positive changes.
The show, as I said, just feels fresher. It feels newer. It feels different. You can just tell. And it's little things. It's just the way the show flows is a much better show to keep fan engagement. Because Twitter was all talkative tonight about the show, especially with the car stuff. That's what you want. You want people talking about it. They gave you good wrestling. They featured a lot of talent. And they set things up. And again, 2 weeks in a row, a cliffhanger to end the show. That's pro wrestling. That's sports entertainment in a nutshell.
And we're all here for it.
But that'll do it for us here on the Raw Post Show. Yes?
Yes.
Do you have something else you wanted to add?
No.
Okay. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night, we're back live with the Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news, notes. We'll have a discussion of some variety. I don't know yet, but tune in. Check it out. It's the Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio. We launch The Great and Great Debate Season 4. Also, Fortnite with Friends beforehand. Sunday night, WTR, Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. The archive, the podcast, whatever you want to call it, will be available later in the week. I got to put together an ending because, sorry, y'all, internets went out. Because apparently I was up late. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop, Epic Games Store, when you buy the 15,000 Marvel skins. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, L-N-S-W-R-D. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward, same as the Twitters. We play Genshin Impact over there. It's a lot of fun, so come check it out. Hang out. It's a good time. You can also check out my YouTube, linzward.rockradioshow.com, or just look for Linz Ward on the YouTubes.
This has been a Raw Post Show presented, as always, by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for Rack, and right back here every Monday night for the Raw Post Show presented by MBG Films. Along there with Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, and twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.